Hello, and thanks for calling the St Luke's Dial a Sermon line, brought to you today by myself, Reverend Chris Stebbing, on my last Sunday morning at St Luke's. Our reading today is from Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 to 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they didn't listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labour. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?" Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Although I was not cast adrift in a basket boat as a child, or brought up in a royal palace, I can really relate to the character of Moses and the situations he faced. Moses was a bit of a reluctant leader. He made some mistakes in his life, and I know I've made lots of mistakes in mine. But regardless of these, God called Moses in a powerful way at the burning bush and commissioned him to play a part in leading his people out of slavery. Earlier in Genesis, verse 23 says, God heard the people crying out to him for deliverance. He remembered his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he acted. How did God act? In wonderful works of power, which we will be coming to in the following weeks of this series. But first thing on God's agenda is to select a person, Moses, through which he will communicate with Pharaoh and with the people of Israel. A human who they can see and touch and who speaks their language that they can relate to, who will eventually lead them out of slavery in Egypt. Here in Exodus, it's God who does the wonderful, powerful, impossible things, but he chooses Moses to play a part in that plan. So here we are in chapter 6. God tells Moses that Pharaoh shall see his power and might, and that this will result in the people of Israel being released from slavery. Before we start to think about the mighty acts that God did, I want to ask the question, why? Why did God decide to rescue the Israelites from slavery? Well, because he cares. He heard the cries of his people and he was concerned for them. Sometimes we have a picture of a God who is unconcerned, unmoved, distant from the suffering of everyday people. This reading tells us that this is certainly not the case. God cares about people's suffering. His father heart is pained whenever one of his children is hurt or mistreated. He hurts when the world is mistreated. No matter what situation you may be in, or may have been in for many years like the children of Israel, be assured, God will hear you if you cry out to him. The next thing after in our passage, after God hears, is that God remembered. God remembered the promise that he had made with the forefathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. He remembered the covenant he had established with them, that if they would follow him, he would be their God and he would give them a land of their own. For we have been promised a land of our own. Do you recognise that from Joseph? And the suggestion here is that God will be closer to the Israelites who are currently enslaved than he was to their ancestors. By my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them, but say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from the yoke of the Egyptians. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Not just the heads of the family, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the whole of the people. And we'll see this worked out in the guidance and instructions for the whole people that God gives further on in Exodus. In addition, whereas God promised that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would live in the land of Canaan as foreigners, God now promises the people of Israel will be given that land as their own possession. So this really is a new start, a new chapter in the history of God's people. I wonder if Moses was excited as he reported this wonderful promise from God to the Israelites. Wonderful news! After years of slavery, you'll be free. And guess what? God himself, the Lord, will be with us. And he's already prepared a land for us to possess as our own country to inhabit. Pretty good news, yes? But they didn't listen. They were tired and discouraged. Maybe their hopes have been dashed before. I expect that's a situation many of us can relate to. But God has heard. God has remembered, and soon God will act. Very soon God will act in power in the world, through the Nile River, through insects and animals, through the weather, and in the lives and death of the Egyptians who are enslaving his people. But as the precursor to these mighty acts, God sends Moses to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. Moses, who had had to flee for his life after accidentally killing someone. Moses, whose only occupation for the last 20 years has been as a shepherd. You might think, what a privilege to be chosen as God's messenger to Pharaoh. But Moses says, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips? Often, as we read this story of Moses, Moses thought he wasn't capable of doing what God asked him to do. Send someone else. He was thinking too much about his own skills, or lack of them, rather than thinking about the power and wonder of God, who can overcome any obstacle, whether that was powerful people like Pharaoh, or natural obstacles like the Red Sea. Maybe he was bound by his past failures into thinking that he wasn't good enough. Moses had to learn to be obedient to his call and trust God that he would be true to his word. When I first felt a call into Christian ministry, I felt God leading me to Ephesians chapter 4. He ordained some to be teachers, preachers, and prophets, so that God's people may be built up for works of service, so that all may come to the fullness of the knowledge of Christ. And now I feel God's calling me to do exactly that in my new role as Associate Archdeacon in the diocese. It'll be a big wrench leaving St. Luke's, but I feel that I can fulfil that calling of helping people to grow in the Christian faith even more in this new role. And so that's why I've decided to move on and take up this new post in the diocese. The example of Moses teaches us that we can do many things in God's service that we previously thought were beyond our ability. When God called Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, in Exodus chapter 4, Moses could only think of reasons why he was not the right man for the job. As a young man in Pharaoh's palace, Moses would have been quite capable, but some years of talking to sheep had caused him to lose confidence in his communication skills. Perhaps he thought his social status and past failures also weighed against him. Because we know that Moses later proved to be a great leader, his excuses seem rather lame, but remember that we have the benefit of hindsight. At the time God called him, Moses only saw himself as a shepherd. Furthermore, he did not adequately take into consideration the power and strength that God would use to support him in his work. We are also quick to discount our ability to serve God. We tend to put ourselves down. We perhaps cite our poor skills, our lack of knowledge, etc., and we simply dismiss the possibility that we can do anything great for the Lord. But that's just not true. We shouldn't think this way. When the Lord presents us with opportunities to serve him that we feel inadequate to perform, we should put our trust in God and step up to the challenge. Remember, in our weakness, he is strong. That's something I've had to learn in ministry, that the things which go best are those where I'm not able to do them in my own strength, because then I have to rely on God more. I'm leaving to follow God's call to a new adventure with him in Attercliffe and Ecclesall. As St Luke's moves into this time of not having a vicar, interregnum as it's called in the C of E, it's a time for everyone to ask themselves, what is God calling me to? In what ways does he want me to play a part in his plans for the world? It probably won't be something dramatic, like calling down hail from heaven, but a simple thing that we can offer in obedience to God can be the precursor to something amazing. It might be for us to go and speak to someone. It might be to follow God's prompting, like Moses' sister in the story of his birth. It might be to faithfully serve God's church in the everyday decisions and nitty-gritty of life, as Moses went on to do. It might be to encourage and support others in moving forward to a new thing, a new land. And if we don't feel equipped or eloquent enough, or if we feel bound by the past like Moses, we can cast those things off, put our trust in God, and move forward in obedience with him, knowing God cares for us, and he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Well, thank you for dialing in today, and thanks for all your support and fellowship over the last 9 years. And Mandy and I wish you all God's blessings for the future.